Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Arsenal and Manchester United get the FA Cup underway this weekend. Palace play Spurs and Tony Pulis is up against his hometown. Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. Luke, Pete and Jim, of course, are with me. Marcus, we've got to start by mentioning the very, very upsetting news story, of course, Emiliano Sala on his way to Cardiff, of course. We know what happened. So at the time of recording, we haven't heard anything. There's been no updates, but the
doesn't
news
look good,
is looking very bleak indeed. So, yeah, our thoughts with his family. It's very, absolutely, very sad. Really, really sad story there. But gentlemen, football, of course, is going on. And the FA Cup is happening this weekend. Arsenal and Manchester United, the biggest tie of the round, I think you would agree, get the things going on Friday night.
I don't think Portsmouth and the QPR fans would agree, Mark. But I'll let you have that one.
All right, I appreciate that. But it is the biggest tie of the round, isn't it, Jim?
Yes.
It demonstrably is.
Okay, why don't we find out what Pete thinks?
Yeah, and it's under the Friday night lights.
Yes, it is. It's an interestingly poised one as well, because obviously Arsenal got a good win against Chelsea. They're at home, but Man United are resurgent. 90s Man United appear to be back. So I don't really know which way this one's going to go, because of course I don't, because it hasn't happened.
Indeed, yeah. Well, it's funny because Unai Emery said of Manchester United, it's the same players, but they're playing with a big performance now. Now they are very dangerous. It's another direct or indirect dig to Mourinho, I think.
But it seems to be, though, that Mourinho gets under people's skin so much that anything that's said is still related back to him.
But that is a dig at him, because he basically said, now that he's not there, this side now look dangerous.
Yeah, well, Paul Scholes said that they were shite under Mourinho, so
he's effectively even more direct. He's effectively saying that I would have rather played Mourinho United than Solskjaer.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely.
It's brilliant.
Paul Scholes' comments were really interesting this week. He talked about how he's found it very difficult to find the buzz and the competitive spirit of just everyday life.
Yeah.
And the reason he's apparently lined up to take over at Oldham, which is, of course, a club that he's very close to, is because he finds it difficult to fill that gap. He said, media, well, you know, I've got no, it's not hard for me to do that. There's no competition involved. I don't really see myself on a trajectory there with media.
He could be better at it, to be
fair. I think so.
take a leaf out of Gary Neville's
book. He doesn't care enough about it, though, does he?
Exactly. Priority. What I will say, though, Jim, is what I said earlier. Paul, give us a call. We can give you some tips. We can help you out.
Luke Miller media training.
What, mind coach.
Managing clubs.
No, just media.
Oh, okay, right.
Neither.
Yeah. Some more of these.
But on the, a few more of these. Uh-huh. But
we'll rent your studio, mate. You can practice for it, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a bit rich. On that note, though, I've not got the call from Fort William yet.
No, you haven't.
No.
You guys aren't mugging me off, have you? You've had nothing either.
I've been up there a few times.
Have you?
We set up a filter so you wouldn't read the emails.
You just train the strikers, are you?
I was allowed to come on for the last 15 and make a few substitutions. Hence, I came on for the last 15.
Tell you, if there's one thing you're looking for in a strikers coach, it's a guy who has to go and play fullback for a bit.
Well,
it does the work, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like John Charles, but just at fullback.
Yeah.
Speaking of Paul Scholes, you see, David Beckham's bought 10% of the stick in Salford.
So now he's got Miami up and running, and he wants to get involved with Salford. That's going well. So I want to get involved in
conflict of interest. Yeah.
Are
they going to be called Inter Salford?
It could be a league concern very soon, which is amazing.
It is.
Yeah. No, it really would be.
I don't think it's going to be a concern.
Cue all the non-league fans saying, "Oh yeah, financially dope the league and all that stuff." You'll get a lot of pelters for that.
Yeah, you will, Peter.
For endorsing that sort of thing.
That's the thing people don't understand about Peter. He doesn't care.
Gitter still
think of the shareholders. He screams in his sleep.
Will Arsenal press Manchester United?
I hope so.
And go for them like they did against Spurs and Chelsea.
I think they have to, yeah, because that is that's what's proven successful for them in the bigger games where things have gone well. And you know, you want to want to stay in the damn cup.
But Manchester United's counter-attack will be waiting for that,
Jim. I don't see United as doing anything massively tactically different other than picking players in the right positions. playing
with smiles on their faces.
Yeah, but playing quick, pacey players, like to move the ball quickly. Yeah. Who can break, as Jim said,
using what they've got essentially.
Yeah, and they beat Spurs away, but David De Gea had a man of the match performance, broke the record for the amount of saves in one half or something. So that tells its own story. Pochettino said it was the finest half performance he's seen from his team. You can understand why he would say that. He wants to give him a bit of encouragement. Of course, they squeaked through against Brighton. Arsenal were good last time out. I mean, this is a really, really good game. It's a great game to kick off the FA Cup weekend. Mm. But I think Arsenal should be confident. I said before, you know, I don't think that just not being Jose Mourinho is a tactic that's going to work for him long term. Yeah. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm. Not so good.
What, with Solskjaer?
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant Mourinho.
No.
Not being Mourinho, it's
going to take him so far, isn't it?
I think Jose Mourinho could do with being a little less Mourinho, to be honest.
It's got to be said, not being Jose Mourinho has gone pretty well for Leonardo DiCaprio. So
it's true.
You sort of very much judge that on a
case-by-case basis. Has it gone well for you, Jim?
Yeah,
he's up and down.
He's round the table, isn't he?
Yeah, it's true.
He's here with us.
He's part of the conversation. Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think it was an interesting one because you would expect Arsenal to have more of the ball. But you would think that Manchester United, on the basis of that first half against Tottenham Hotspur, they should be okay with it. It's about whose defence can hold out, and that is where the question marks are for both
especially
sides.
Especially with Hector Bellerin now missing, because he's such an integral part of the side. I know he's been missing for a while, but it's a different blow, isn't it, if you know you're without a player for the rest of the season.
Sure. What do you think of Emery? He tried to get Eric Bailly on loan until the end of the season, but that was rejected. He said he wants to get one or two more.
I think, I don't mind the idea of that. I think Bailly's been sort of much maligned, but, you know, with the situation at Man United with Mourinho digging his players out all the time, it really sort of affects the perception of a player, doesn't it? This idea that Luke Shaw was this sort of plodding cart horse that was lucky to even be a professional footballer. He's sort of expressed similar sort of things about Eric Bailly and different players at certain times. And so you have to sort of look past all that. And, you know, Bailly started very well when he went to United. So I think that would have been a very good addition. But I'm not surprised that United don't want to strengthen a rival.
I think it's an interesting situation with Emery, because we've talked a bit on the show about the impatience that's been shown to him by certain people in the media, certain fans, not obviously emanating from the club yet, but the reality is now two of the people on that board of three that hired Emery at Arsenal have now gone. Gazidis and Mislintat. The guy who is the ex-Barcelona guy is still there. His name escapes me. That's it. He's still there. Emery is clearly going to want to strengthen the team in a big way in the summer, and you'd expect he's been given the opportunity to do that. So I'm interested to see how Arsenal do between now and the end of the season and what Emery needs to do to keep people happy and keep people convinced that he's the man for the job. I personally think he should be there for as long as he needs, because as I said before, Klopp had six transfer windows to get this right. People showed up extraordinary patience with him, and he came in a completely different situation to Emery, who's got a lot of work to do. So Arsenal, I think there will be a minimum standard expected, but I expect Emery to fulfil it, and then I think they'll move big in the transfer window. Mm. United, by the way, are 8-1 fourth favourites, Man United, to lift the FA Cup this season. £10 with Bet365 returns, £90 including stake. And I can sort of see Solskjaer having a bit of a trophy to mark his time there.
Now, if they did win the FA Cup, they would be joint level with Arsenal.
Yes, that's right.
Isn't it? Isn't it, bruv?
Yeah. Are you trying to just poke him until he starts swearing or something?
That was very underwhelming. You can do better.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. That's not a dig. I suddenly thought to myself,
don't get upset that your dig didn't work.
Marcus, you want me to back you up?
Please.
Jim, I think you're a wanker.
There you go. You see?
Did you read the wonderful piece that Jesse Lingard wrote for the Players Tribune?
I haven't seen it yet. Oh. No.
I have a rule where
his dad was a power lifter.
Yeah, an Olympic level power lifter. Yeah,
I thought you were going to say Power Ranger for a moment.
Maybe he did that by under cloak of darkness.
A really clunky Power Ranger knocking into things.
Yeah, right. This is an interesting one then.
Oh, it's a beautiful piece of writing, and he's just it's such a beautiful, and there's a beautiful picture of him playing for Manchester United against an Italian side. I think the AC Milan youngsters. He looks like a little baby compared to these blokes.
We've seen the photo.
Yeah, it's incredible. I definitely recommend picking it out. I have a rule where I don't read anything or watch anything slightly emotional before An hour after I've got up, because I'll just be in floods of tears. And I was getting there with that, to be honest.
Is it an hour?
Honestly,
regret.
If I catch wind of a video of a Marine being reunited with a dog,
I'm gone.
I'm like, this is going to be a bad day.
Is this linked to last night's report?
Ian Wright meeting his old teacher again.
Yeah.
Oh. Mr. Pickerton, they said you were dead.
That's amazing. That is amazing. That's one of the best videos ever.
That is an incredible impression of Ian Wright.
Oh, definitely, yeah. A good impression of Ian Wright, yeah.
I think Steve Claridge.
I think what Pete's saying is he can deal with last night's Chinese takeaway in the morning or an emotional video on YouTube, but not both.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly.
Not both.
Yeah.
Okay. We understand.
Stomach-wrenching both.
Manchester City. They're at home to Burnley. They went through in the Carabao Cup final last night.
Oh, what a nail biter.
Yeah.
What a nail biter.
It was only 1-0, but of course their first leg activities made sure that they went through.
It was 1-0, partly because they played at least three players that I am 90% convinced don't even exist.
Yep.
Yeah. I saw the names I'm just not having that.
No.
I am not having it.
Yeah, that's like off an old computer game where you haven't got the rights to the names.
No.
That's what you've done there. You haven't got the rights to any of these people.
And some people say, oh yeah, well, that one kid, he's played a lot for England under-19s. You haven't seen him.
No one's seen him.
The thing is, though, with Manchester City players, you probably would have seen them because the level of social media is that, look at this guy. He's like, if you're like a Burnley youngster, you've never seen him play before because it's really hard to sort of find videos of them. But that's, I imagine, true. Man City youngsters are worth 20 million by the fact they're pulling on the shirt.
Absolutely, yeah. Nigel Clough said that they got a bit of respectability. They restored their pride. Mm. I sort of think to myself, I mean,
you're fuming about this.
I'm still angry about that first leg. 10-0 on aggregate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you remove one... Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, 10-0.
They didn't win 1-0.
Yeah, for some reason in my head, I thought they'd won 1-0. Yeah. Idiot.
That would have been all right.
Yeah. Would it? It wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
They got absolutely hammered.
Yeah, what if they'd have won 7-0? I don't know.
The fans were excellent, though, weren't they? Every time City missed a chance, they sort of celebrated it like it was a goal almost.
Oh, the fans are fine.
I had a thought about this, right? You know, like how they talk about how the Premier League in particular, or certain football at a high level, is all about getting inside the other opposition manager's head. Yeah. What would happen, right, if you're playing football and you're a Premier League side and you miss a shot, you actually like skew it and it goes into the crowd.
Yeah.
Imagine if the team in its entirety celebrated like it was a goal.
Yeah.
And it would absolutely freak out the opposition. They're like, they've gone mad. Yeah. They're capable of anything.
They're psychologically so strong.
Yeah.
They'll celebrate anything.
They'll celebrate a skewed missed shot.
I like that.
Let's pretend we scored a goal, but on the pitch.
Yeah.
They all run back into the position. So it's a goal kick. And they all run back into the position as if they're
in the
again.
Centre circle.
Which is perfectly legal. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. In fact, it's not even that bad. Are you
listening? Small teams north of the border.
Even the manager.
New managers, new ideas.
That's true.
Even the managers on the touchline going, heads on, come on. Keep it tight.
I'll tell you what, if the great Ali McLeod was still in operation, the former Scotland manager, he'd be all over that.
He would.
He'd be all over that.
Marcus, I've got something that's... I'm pleased to see you smiling and having a good time because I've got something that's going to upset you.
You're not that pleased.
Last night, Burton had 29% of the ball.
Yeah.
The referee was Kevin Friend.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine.
How many yellow cards do you reckon Burton picked up last night?
None. And less than Man City?
None.
Yeah, there you go.
Again.
Yeah, but the game's gone.
Get amongst it.
No,
an early goal, it's on. That's all I'm saying.
Do what they did to Neymar. Damage him when he's doing his rainbow flicks.
Oh, blimey. He did mug the bloke off brilliantly after that, didn't he?
Yeah.
If that had gone
but
in...
But then he went off injured.
He did go off injured, but it had Neymar when he got chopped around. When he flicked the ball over the bloke's head and he half-volleyed just wide, if that had gone in, that would have been sensational.
Is that not Neymar in one great microcosm.
Yeah.
What, you do like a rainbow flick and an amazing move, it doesn't quite come off, and what's that, you've injured yourself ahead of a vital Champions League tie? Oh, good. The scene is so typically Neymar.
Do you remember Curlon?
Yes.
Yeah,
in Brazil.
He used to do what was known as a seal dribble, and he was almost a bit of like a Freddy Adu figure because he was hyped to be this huge thing because he could basically just sort of bounce the ball on his head a few times. But it got to the point where opponents were just elbowing him in the face. It was disrespectful and clown-like.
It was unbelievable. It was, it was extraordinary, Jim. When he used to balance the ball on his head, as you say, the seal dribble, did you say that?
People should just take pot shots kicking him.
But when he did the seal dribble, which is what it was called, which is totally unnecessary. As Jim says, players would just go up and like elbow him in the face, and it was almost as if that was okay. Like the referee understood it, and it was kind of like, "Well, you did do the seal dribble, So actually, that does allow you a free elbow to the face."
I mean, it essentially got him a move to Inter.
Yeah.
Did he go
No, he never went to Inter.
No, he did. He went to Inter.
He went into, but he never played.
I think he's retired already.
He's retired at 30 years, yeah. Yeah. So a word to the wise. Note of caution to all you budding the F2 freestylers.
The F2 freestyler.
is that a word of caution? Do some daft skill that doesn't mean anything and you get a move to one of the biggest clubs in Europe.
Yeah, Inter though.
And now you're retired at 30.
We're all agreed. Well,
the rainbow flick is the only trick I can do, and I do it at every football match I ever play in. On the sidelines, let's make that very clear.
You should learn the seal dribble.
I really want to be like a F2 freestyler, but just a man who can kick a ball really high in the air. Imagine being an F2 freestyler, but sort of explaining to the camera, hey, look at me, I can kick the ball really high in the air, and that's your only skill.
And then I can go about my business and come back later and control it when it comes down.
Just taking it back to Kerlon very quickly.
Please.
He played for Inter, moved there in 2008. And he
Someone's
played
been on his computer.
I have. I'm just going to. He played for 2 years under Jose Mourinho. Do you reckon he was a Jose Mourinho type player? Do you reckon he was popular?
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. You know how we were talking about Kerlon earlier? Apparently retired early. Will Pep Guardiola be targeting the quadruple this season? The answer is yes, because why would he want to lose games? But of course, can they do it? Because it was talk.
You just mugged
talk.
Yourself off there. You've written that question. Now you've talked it out.
You've given us nowhere to go, but back on you.
I don't think he is going for the quadruple.
Let me finish, gentlemen.
Okay.
Because the question was to throw you one way, but now I'm dragging you back the other. Because there was big talk last season.
Like a seal flip.
That Manchester City could end up winning all four trophies. Of course, they won two, which is very respectable, Peter. Mm. This season, there's not so much talk because Liverpool are top of the league. Do you think that goes in their favour? The expectation is slightly off somewhat.
I think, yeah, I mean, that's always going to be a good thing, isn't it? Especially for a defending champion, because as we've heard so many times, that's apparently one of the hardest things to do in football, is retain a title to motivate the players in the same way. So it's marginal, isn't it? They'll take anything they can get, and I think that will be certainly a positive.
They've used the cup competitions to kind of get back into form, play themselves back into form. Look at how they destroyed
the 9-0.
But, like, you could tell that Pep Guardiola sort of sees games as being incredibly important. They've got a big squad. They've got a much bigger squad than Liverpool will ever have, quality-wise, and they're using it, I think. So, yeah, I think they will go all the way.
Also, a big thing with Guardiola's style is the system, isn't it? And every player in that squad has to learn their place in that. So that's true of a lot of clubs.
No, it's a very Barcelona-type thing. They would say that in Barcelona, they would play that kind of 4-3-3 and all that, and they tried to roll that out. So in the youth team, it's that idea of everyone can just shuffle up one. Now, obviously, in practice, that may not quite work, but in theory, it does. And so the right back plays exactly like how, say, Danny Alves was playing or something. That's the kind of...
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We need a man who kicks the ball real high.
Yeah.
They don't need that. No one needs that.
Get me on the blower, Pep.
There's no actual purpose for that, Pete. Marcus, tell him.
Yeah, Peter, there's
helping
no
people dare to dream.
Burnley are a colossal 22-1.
There's your dare to dream.
To win this game with Bet365. £10 returns, £230, including stake, should they do it. And Man City played a game last night. So you never know.
We talked about Man City and Curl on there, but we never actually mentioned Burnley. Could they be that the FA Cup's tiny little atom that dared to dream?
They're in great nick. They've won four and drawn one of their last five. Of course, beating Huddersfield away, West Ham at home, Fulham. Admittedly, they've had easier games. And after this game,
got to get momentum from somewhere, though.
Well, after this game, they go to Old Trafford. And yet another great game for Solskjaer. He seems to have timed this particularly well.
Maybe Mourinho just had a terrible run and that league position was completely reasonable.
He said that at the time, though, actually. All joking aside, I think one of the reasons why they appointed Solskjaer when they did, get that Liverpool away game out of the way, proved to be, you know, Manchester United not good enough.
Maybe it's just a little gift. Maybe this is his testimonial, if indeed he got one.
It'll be a tough ask for them. I mean, you know, he didn't really have to play the players he didn't want to play last night.
Yeah.
But he just kept them ticking along. I can see why he played Aguero. He's taking a bit of time out and he's bringing him back in quite a benign environment. And I'm not going to be respectful to Burton because they weren't respectful to the competition with their lack of effort and application.
Sod them.
I mean, I've literally never met a Burton fan.
Little slugs.
Have you met a Burton fan?
I know someone from Burton.
Have you ever met a Burton fan?
I have some trousers and Burton's.
Well, that's a fair point.
I don't know where Burton is.
Let's move on. It's
North Midlands.
It's Midlands. England's.
It's in one of the counties, isn't it?
It's in one of those. It's in Burtonshire. England. St George's Park is close to Burton.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. So sort of Midlands, not too far from Birmingham, really. For any cartographers out there, Accrington Stanley, they host Derby County. Lampard's lot will fancy this one, gentlemen. They've shown they can beat bigger teams in the cup competitions this season. Can they beat the smaller teams, Jim? That is the question for Derby this time round.
You would think so. They're enjoying their cup run, aren't they? But obviously, Accrington Stanley will want to make that difficult. can't claim to know that much about them.
Yeah, did you? But did you enjoy Derby County coming back to beat Southampton on penalties in the previous round? I know Luke didn't.
Ask me. Ask me if I remember.
I very much did. I love the spirit that Lampard has instilled in them so quickly. Because obviously they've got some talented players, and you know some of those on loan, obviously. Uh-huh. But they really look like they fancy it whenever I see them.
You're absolutely right, because being 2-0 down away to a Premier League side, you could think, you know, into the second half, you could think, we're getting done here. All right, let's just not make this embarrassing, and let's kind of. But they didn't. They dug in and they bloody well won the tie. And of course, they came back from being 2-0 down in the first game against them, which forced the replay.
Here's a little challenge for anyone listening. They have signed Ashley Cole, of course, and he said
could make his debut.
He probably will, and he said he's going to play to the end of the season, and he'll probably retire. Clearly is a left back, and Gerard Bogle is their right back, or Jaden Bogle, sorry, is their right back. Can you think of a combination of fullbacks where one is that young and one's that old? Bogle, I think, was born in 2000, and Ashley Cole is 38. That is a combination.
It's got to be like Stuart Pearce at Newcastle, maybe.
Cafu and anyone.
Yeah, I was going to say Maldini when he's playing for Milan. Who would have been?
Put it out there.
Yeah.
What you guys have done there is just name loads of old fullbacks.
Yeah.
Well,
you can only presume that somebody much younger was on the right flank.
Yeah. But anyway, it's 38 and I think 18. Uh-huh. Just 20 year gap between fullbacks.
That's crazy.
Crazy, man.
Crazy.
But Ashley Cole is a great. Derby have got a lot of good young players. We know that. But what they do is they combine him with some decent experience as well. And I think Frank Lampard deserves a bit of credit. I know I criticised them a few weeks ago for perhaps relying on those players. I don't think it's that helpful to get an 18-year-old kid and make him play.
But they're in there in the
50
playoffs.
Games or whatever. But they're up there, and they'll be seeing it as a good experience, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right, it's now time for emails with PED. Say I'm the
only bee in your bonnet. Not the bees. Ah! You got mail.
Bad bees.
Bad bees. It's time for some emails with me. Hello to James. I think, guys, we need to get rid of football in Australia. Because
get rid of football.
They cannot be trusted.
Get rid of the whole thing.
Once again, crazy stuff is happening in the A-League. Hi, guys. Many weeks there are contentious calls in the A-League regarding the refereeing and use of VAR. This week, I've seen the worst display of VAR used in a game, which could have but didn't affect the outcome in a match. To describe the highlights video I've linked below, Sydney FC have a penalty shout for a handball against the Wellington Phoenix. The VAR identified this as an incident for the on-field referee to rewatch after his choice of a corner rather than a penalty. Instead of the usual monitor at halfway for a replay, the on-field replay goes on. The on-field referee, he's written replay there, he's obsessed with replays, goes on to watch the replay via the stadium screen.
Yeah.
He just looks up and sees
if it's good enough for
screen.
You lot, it's good enough for me.
It was a blatant handball.
He seemed to say.
He made the wrong call of no penalty, and the Wellington Phoenix admitted this at the end of the game. And then later on, the second incident, Stephen Taylor of ex-Newcastle United fame, elbows a defender down, then proceeds to dive. The on-field referee once again makes the call of a penalty. VAR does not overrule, and the penalty is saved. Sydney FC go on to win 1-0 to a goal by Sim De Jong, who manages to injure himself while scoring a goal. Nice to see that he can replicate that kind of form. He's 29 now, Sim De Jong, which is incredible.
Was it Stephen Taylor for Newcastle who handballed
pretended
on the line
and hit him in the face?
Yeah.
And that was the same game that
hit him in the rib.
Dyer and Boyer punched each other, was it not?
No, that would be too much drama.
Is this guy just talking for his pocket, or is he just annoyed that his team lost the game?
No, I think he's a little bit. I just think he's upset with the quality of A-League
talking
refereeing.
Through his pocket.
He was a very handsome referee. I watched the clip.
Are you upset with the quality of Stephen Taylor?
I've always been upset with the quality of Stephen Taylor.
Came through Wallsend Boys Club, my man.
He did, yeah. He's now being hailed as a love rat.
Is he?
Hailed as a love rat.
Hailed.
Hail is that what
love
it's
rat.
Like up there?
Yeah. Hail the love rat. Mary Kish, hi guys, I'm reaching out on behalf of an agency that I work for, the CAA. We represent NFL players and was wondering if you guys might be interested in potentially working together and having some of our clients who play for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Do they want to date British guys as well?
Hello to Ollie. Hello, Ollie. Connor and Adam also got involved with this. He found basically a Facebook post from a agent. Flaviano Rocha, a player agent in Brazil.
On LinkedIn, this isn't it?
Is it in LinkedIn?
I think it's on LinkedIn. I think so, yeah.
I love this. I need a defensive midfielder for a small Kuwaiti football club, $2,000 a month, European passport, must be young, tall and hungry for a chance. And I need a great striker for the Iranian Championship, $600,000 a year, free, Free? Please, with great statistics, both players. Do not send me bad player.
That's what agents everywhere do. Yeah, every agent I've met, they've said,
do not send me bad player.
How is it good? How is it, you know, being an agent? I said, sometimes it's annoying because people send me bad players.
Wonderful stuff. So thank you. If you want to get to the show, as always, showatthefootballramble.com.
Showatthefootballramble.com. After the break, we're going to go to Newcastle United.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Sets up the dubious penalty shot.
What was that?
Alan Hansen mooing.
Love
it. Entered the studio.
Love that.
Love that. Newcastle United host Watford. Newcastle are still in the FA Cup at the time of recording. The last time Newcastle played at home, Peter, they won 3-0.
They did.
What a run they're having.
May I remind you that in the 11 years or something that Mike Ashley's been in charge of the club, they've won 7 FA Cup matches.
Really?
8 now, actually, against Blackburn. So.
Yeah. There you are. Yeah. You see, it's not too bad for the the side that are ranked 19th in the Deloitte Money League this year, which looks at the revenue for the
Money League.
Newcastle United apparently making...
It's Deloitte, I think.
Deloitte yeah. Touche.
They are bringing in more revs than the likes of West Ham, Leicester, Napoli, Benfica. Only 7 Premier League clubs are ahead of them in the rankings. So, I mean, not that much longer this transfer window, but you can look forward to some new names shortly coming in.
We've had an MLS player turn us down, so yeah.
Is it Steven Taylor? Yeah.
Well, I know a way we could hook you up with an NFL player.
The Bengal Tiger.
Yeah.
I did like that they've made an inquiry to Atletico Madrid about Gelson Martins, which would be a hell of a coup.
They've literally turned it down.
I mean, it would be a hell of a coup. Yeah. But I mean, it won't fucking happen.
No. probably never have any intention of it happening.
The same way if I walk out of this studio now and become...
That would be great.
You know, the new CEO of the Premier League, that would be a hell of a coup for me personally. It's got about as much chance of happening as Gilson Martins has got at Newcastle United.
Transfer window, 2 things happen. Yes. At the start of it, Mike Ashley says he's going to sell a club, so he's not going to invest.
Yeah,
and at the end, they go really close. Oh, so close to getting some footballers. And then Hosselu arrives.
Again, hi guys.
Oh, no, except not even Hosselu, because we paid some money for him. A loan player.
Solomon Rondon.
I mean, Mike Ashley really is just cementing himself as one of the worst people in football, isn't he?
Yeah, like, and it's a...
Disagree.
I think you'll find that when you look at what Mike Ashley's done at Newcastle, it should be thank you.
It should be thank you. Don't make me play my Donny's Duds advert again.
Fishing emoji.
Can I make a sort of fairly... I don't think... Is it Gelson Martins or Gelson Martins?
Andy Brassel said Gelson.
Gelson Martins.
Yes, right.
I would have a sizable bet that he doesn't even know what Newcastle United is a club. I don't think he's ever heard of them.
There's a good chance of that.
You reckon?
That's disrespectful, and you know it
is. How old is he? 22, something like that?
Look, Newcastle United were a Champions League club not that long ago, before Ashley took over, obviously. Yeah.
They're a yo-yo club now.
They've had 6 relegations, I think, in their entire history, 2 of them. Two of them under Ashley.
But he said this week, didn't he, that he doesn't feel that he hasn't put money into the club and there's been loans and things like that. And it's like...
It's outrageous.
It's an absolute outrage that he's sort of defending that record.
Could the Mike Ashley regime deliver a trophy to St James's Park?
That would be a coup, wouldn't it?
Bet365 make it 66-1 that Newcastle win the FA Cup this season. It's a £10 return, £670, including stake. And I've been looking forward to delivering that line all day.
Pete, Luke, would you... I respect our sponsors, but I will not be getting involved.
Peter, would you take an FA Cup win if it means that you'd see...
I'd take an FA Cup quarter-final, to be honest.
Well, he hasn't told you.
One step at a time.
You can only eat margarine for the rest of your life. That's what he was going to say.
How did Pete die? But he loved that semi. He loved that semi final. He loved that visit to Wembley as he greased himself down the stairs.
Jamie wasn't around for the final.
With those arteries just thickening towards the end. He said, I love that I love that 4-0 defeat to Man City in the semis.
And a single greasy tear.
Yeah.
My goodness, my goodness. Yeah. But
I loved seeing us play Jamel Lascelles as an auxiliary forward in that semi-final.
But like me, Jim, you probably fancy Watford for that one.
Yes.
So there we are.
Yes, I do.
All right then. Crystal Palace host Tottenham Hotspur. Spurs missing key players. Of course, Ali and Kane out till March. Sissoko and Moura could be back for this one. They might even play tonight against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup. Of course, I don't think we're going to see Higuain play for Chelsea tonight. It would seem unlikely, but of course he's there.
Maybe he'll come off the bench
signed.
For a goal.
Yeah, signed. Il Pepita.
Yeah.
And you know, Higuain, I think it's a gamble. I said so yesterday on the Continent, which is out now, of course. And you can listen to that for James Horncastle's impassioned speech about the quality of him and Sarri, because James feels that the whole of Italian football is one of his children and he has to fight for it. Yeah. And we respect that. But Higuain, it's right to say Higuain scored more goals than anyone in Italy over the last 5.5 seasons. And obviously he's a player to be taken seriously. He's in the middle of a difficult season. It's January and he's going to need to hit the ground running. And he's 31 and it's a very physical league. I wonder how he's going to get on. But I'm excited to see him play because he's a great striker.
Well, maybe a fresh start will be good for him, given that he's been in Italy for a while now. Have you seen what Sarri has said about him in the past? There's a wonderful quote from him, which is, he is goals. He is a goal animal, an infernal machine.
Yeah.
That's poetic.
A goal animal.
Yeah, I love
that. Superb, that is.
But on Indiana Jones would go up against.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to get past the goal animal, and then there's the infernal machine.
And there's a big football chasing you down a hill.
Yeah. End of level boss.
Yeah. But Spurs, of course, away to Palace, though, after however they get on against Chelsea this weekend. Palace have done okay against the bigger teams this season. When I say okay, I mean, they've obviously one against Manchester City away. But I mean, when they've played against some of the bigger sides, they tend to give an all right account of themselves.
They obviously won at City. They were close against Liverpool, weren't they? Yeah, they famously beat Grimsby at home in the Cup. 10
right,
man
yeah.
Grimsby.
Yeah.
So,
with an 86th minute winner.
Yeah.
You're spicy today, Luke. I'm enjoying it.
He's spicy every day.
Fed up with your lot's nonsense.
Yeah. So,
I think
this is an interesting one.
When we saw Spurs get that narrow win with that Harry Winks goal towards the end of the game against Fulham, and it was a shame for Fulham because they'd battled bravely. I think my impression of watching Spurs at that point, precisely for the reasons you said, Marcus, with the players they're missing, I felt like I was watching a team at the very limit of their capabilities because of the personnel, because of the injuries, because of the situation. So it's not an easy place for them to go, Crystal Palace, in a cup game, because we know the stadium will be pumping and they'll be really keen to get a positive result. Of course, also, Spurs playing tonight is going to make it difficult for them with the players they've got missing. So I wouldn't write off Palace at all in this one. It's a target for them, isn't it? Because I personally don't believe Palace will be relegated this season.
No, I don't.
So, what if it's something for them to target?
What if there's truth in Borussia Dortmund reportedly going after Wilfried Zaha? Apparently.
Yeah, I saw
Palace
that.
Apparently wanting more than 50 million.
How long has he got in his contract? Because 50 million.
He's signed, well, then
way more than 50 in today's climate.
You say that, Peter. My instinctive reaction was the same. I think he's on a decent deal. He was rumoured to be moving. I think he might have signed a deal in the summer. And at the time we said, well, it suits everyone, right? It means players get a higher price if he does go. The player gets more money, and the fans and the club get to keep Zaha for longer. Everyone wins in that situation. Reality is, in terms of numbers, Zaha hasn't really delivered much this season.
He's got 3 goals.
Exactly. And I don't know how many
assists
he's got.
Less than Andros Townsend.
Yeah. Well,
maybe they're looking in the wrong place.
He's having a dig at you there, Donny.
Fewer.
So
he's an important player for Palace.
I think, and I was just going to make the final point. I know I was rambling on. Psychologically, he represents a lot more than those numbers this season for that club, though. And that's partly the reason, along with the contract, that they want more money.
It's a tricky one for Palace because if, as you say, his performances haven't been that big and let's be honest, Zaha, it's funny he hasn't been linked to a move to somewhere else a little bit more. And Palace may think to themselves, do you know what, we could sell him at a huge price. He's maybe not as important as he was last season. But then on the flip side of that, he's clearly a very, very important player. And what a psychological blow that would be. And if they think to themselves, if we actually lose Zaha, because I agree with you, look, I don't think Palace will get relegated. But if they lost Zaha, And then that had a bit of a psychological blow on the side. And also, relegation is far worse than them losing
him. And the market's so inflated that even if you get a big price, you're going to have to pay a big price to replace them anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, people know how much people go for. People know how much is in the coffer when it comes to actually.
And Zaha knows the club very well. He clearly loves the club as well. He's from that area, I believe. You're unlikely going to get somebody worth a huge amount who would then go. And of course, if they started putting in performances, then the other big clubs would come sniffing around. So a player like him is very special. And if I was them, I would or err on the side of trying to keep hold of him no matter what kind of money that was thrown.
Definitely. And the reason it's gone quiet in terms of Zaha transfer is precisely because he signed that new deal. But I remember talking to Carlos Carvalho in the Ramble Meets in August, and he tried to keep Swansea up. And he said in that interview, look, I had players I wanted to sign, that we had money. I was told by the board I could sign these players.
Yeah.
They wouldn't come. They wouldn't come because they didn't want a relegation on their CV. Mm-hmm. They didn't even want to come on loan to be a part of it. So it's difficult for teams down the bottom. Now, of course, you'll have to do is just chuck a load more money at it to convince them to come. I think it causes a lot more problems than just the fact that they've got to replace a player for Palace, because it's not going to be easy to replace him. I think he's been good in parts this season. I thought he was decent against Liverpool. I think he had an assist in that game. He was good against Burnley a couple of months ago. He gets kicked all over the place. He's clearly a talented player. He'd be a better player with better players around him as well.
Mm-hmm. Good fodder for Townsend.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely right. Yeah. There we are. Right then, gentlemen.
Well, listen, it'll probably be a 1-0 weekend, and Townsend will get the goal. Fernando Llorente, though, is 2-1 to score any time during this game with Bet365. It's a £10 return, £30, including stake. Should he find the back of that net, the right net this time, not his own net.
Absolutely right. It's the Tony Pulis derby in Middlesbrough. They face Newport County. He was very excited about this. Apparently, he was inundated with messages from his family and friends because he's up against his hometown of Newport. And I think that if one man could take on a town, it would be Pulis.
It's a shame that it has to come for that for his family and friends to get in touch.
Pete, you're half Welsh, aren't you?
Yes.
How do you pronounce that? Because he's from a part of Newport, which is actually very hard to pronounce. What's that?
I mean, I don't speak Welsh, so
I'm just saying you might have a chance, isn't it? Pichlwenli.
Pete's half Welsh.
Yeah, he is. His mum's Welsh.
Yeah. Have you even been to Wales?
He's half internet as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever done any animated sketches about Welsh people?
Yes, Tony Pulis.
Well, Pulis played for Newport County in the mid '80s. Borough, obviously the side he's managing at the moment. It'd be an interesting one because Middlesbrough were knocked out of the Carabao Cup against Burton Albion.
So he then went on to disgrace themselves.
Exactly. So
sully the good name of the Carabao Cup, the traditional name of the Carabao Cup.
It's pronounced Carabao.
Carabao Cup, yeah.
Well, Newport will be thinking to themselves, do you know what? We've bloody well beaten Leicester City. They're bigger than Middlesbrough. I mean, Middlesbrough currently fifth in the Championship, 7 points off the top. Out of the look at these stats. This is very Pulis. So, out of the 24 teams in the Championship, only four sides have scored fewer goals than Borough, and they're all in the bottom five. So, low scoring Middlesbrough. However, they have easily the best defensive record in the league, just conceding 20 goals in 28 league games.
That I think they've
scored 31. So it's quite like Burnley last season, but that is proper Pulis.
He'll eke out 1-0.
Yeah.
When Pulis. I've not got the details in front of me, so I might get this wrong, but the general gist is correct. Pulis went out either last summer or the summer before when he took over at Borough, whenever it was, and bought 6'6" Aidan Flint from Bristol City. And he thought, you know what he's going to get up to.
Rudy Gestedt's at the club, I think.
Is he? Okay.
I think so, if I'm right.
So I mean, Newport are a pretty average team. They are obviously mid-table in League Two. And I'm stopping just short of saying that Rodney Parade is becoming a classic cup venue.
Yeah.
You think of it in your mind, you can picture it. Behind one of the goals, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But the problem is, obviously, it's going to be away from home at the Riverside. So had it been at Newport County, you'd think, well, I don't know, you fancy them.
Yeah.
Because Borough, you'd say they're not free scoring, they've got a certain way of playing, and you'd fancy them to be better than Newport.
Yeah.
But when you play that type of football, it can go easily wrong because you're not used to scoring goals in prolific number. So had it been at Rodney Parade, I'd give Newport a chance here, but it isn't, so I don't.
That's right. Yeah. What do you think of John Obi Mikel set to move to Middlesbrough from Tianjin Teda in China? Left Chelsea in 2017, of course, to go to China.
I think that's a really good move,
isn't
he? Yeah, yes. I'm surprised there aren't Premier League clubs.
Well, I think there was. I think he had interest from other sides, including Roma. But he wanted to move back to England to be
according to his agent.
Be with his family or closer to his family. So interesting signing that.
It's on his fourth club. It's so weird.
I know. Interesting stuff. There we are. Right, Luke. What's our best bet with Bet365?
I've decided to hand the reins over to Mr. Pete Donaldson.
No way! Donnie's in the chair!
Donaldinho is in the hot seat. Now, I know what you've gone for, Pete, and I can do it, but I can hand it over to you. You're welcome to do it if you want to. You don't remember, do you?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm just looking down my WhatsApp group.
Okay, I'll do it because you haven't prepared. Pete's gone for Portsmouth and Man United, both to win in a double.
Whoa.
And I have to make it clear,
it's Donnie's doubles.
I love how you're reading out his bet.
Under no, well, it's, listeners do all this other stuff.
Yeah. He asked me yesterday on WhatsApp what bet I wanted. Uh-huh. And so.
And you've forgotten already.
The bet has been administered. It's so fine. It's in the vein.
It's 5.53 to 1 with Bet365. So £50 returns £326.50, including stake, with all proceeds heading to Prostate Cancer UK, should Portsmouth and Man United both win. Man United are playing Arsenal, as we've mentioned. Portsmouth are at home to QPR in what will be a sellout at Fratton Park. Fantastic occasion. Criminal that it's not on TV, but anyway, we move on. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. You know,
could be over by Saturday.
Could be over by about 9 o'clock Friday night. Yeah. But, you know, there you go.
Look,
it's what he's gone
me.
For. Yeah. I chucked it over to him. Imagine if Pete Donaldinho Donaldson was the first man to get the coveted hat trick.
I didn't know the odds, and now that I'm sort of going, I'm a little bit worried now. Oh no, never mind.
Pompey are good value, I think.
Yeah, I think Pompey's got a good
value. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Going for Glow.
It is time for Going for Glow. So the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you to play.
Lord.
Marcus put his fingers in the air. I thought he was going to do something.
No, he's getting into it.
The stakes are so high.
Oh, you're pointing at the stakes.
Yeah, up at the sky.
Oh, right.
Oh, Bennett.
I need a win here badly. I can't remember the last time I got one.
Well, I want to win. I want, to be fair, Luke, either of us, because I'd like to hear our jingle.
Yes, same.
Yes.
We haven't heard it yet.
Jim's on a hat trick.
Oh, you got Roy McFly, didn't you?
No, that wasn't. That was pre-jingle. That was
pre-jingle.
When we weren't living in Jingle Town.
Pre-jingies. this email comes from Andy Daniel. Thank you, Andy, for these clues.
Have you got Pete's best bet, Andy, while you're there?
I was born in Alten, Switzerland, in 1971.
Stop. Stefan Chapuisat.
Love that.
Ooh,
what a pronunciation of Chapuisat.
Oh, Chapuisat.
Chapuisat. Stop. Alan Suter.
No.
Hang on, was I correct, Pete?
No, you weren't.
You would have had your jingle,
I know.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, stop. Forget his first name, but Dirty Yock.
No.
I don't even know who that is.
There's no way Dirty Yock is 48 years old.
I don't know, do I?
Who's Dirty Yock?
Dirty Yock, he scored that goal against Spain in the World Cup 2010.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, did he score or did he hit the post? It was an amazing run against Spain.
I'm thinking of another Swiss player.
Yeah, I know him.
Okay. I was one of five children born to Spanish immigrants and all my other siblings were born in Madrid.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Mm.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
That's thrown some pile in the washing machine.
Raul.
No.
Yeah, I know. I see what you're doing and I like it. Stop. I'll have.
It's like the start of a porno.
Fernando Hierro.
Incorrect. During my 13-year career, I played for clubs in Switzerland, Italy, England, Scotland, and France.
Stop. Is it Ramon Vega?
Oh, Cabela!
Oh, nice.
Well played, he needed it.
Well done.
Lord.
Well played.
Well played.
He came at us there with a bit of intensity.
He did lead a consortium to buy Portsmouth at one point, didn't he?
So. I was thinking, who's the only Swiss person I'm going to think of with a vaguely Spanish name?
Yeah.
And that's literally the only one. There we go. Yeah. I'm very happy about that. Normally I don't give a shit, but I needed that badly.
Yeah. You called it and you got there.
Thank you to Andy for those. Lovely old job.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. We've made it once again, ladies and gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Enjoy your FA Cup. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PED.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy C.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye from me.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.